Welcome to Not Terrible.
I'm Jess Hooker.
And I'm Mary Graham. This is episode 30 of the Not Terrible podcast. On today's episode, we're kicking off the new year by talking about our stuff. As everyone makes New Year's resolutions, we're figuring out how to balance needs versus wants and what we really want to fill our homes with. Not Terrible, a field guide for the hopeless optimist. So over fall break, when we were traveling, I brought 40 books with me, which is, you know, typical for someone who has way too many books to read and never enough time. And on the way back, I consumed this book called The Year of Less by Kate Flanders. She's a finance blogger, and she realized that she was spending too much money and not saving enough. So she put herself on a very strict budget of like no spending for a year. She could buy groceries, toiletries if she needed them.
But nothing new.
Nothing.
No furniture, no car, no clothes.
No, like nothing that wasn't like a necessary like survival thing. She knew she was going to need a new pair of shoes, so she wrote that in at one time. She was allowed to buy gifts for other people, but just like helping her to be more aware of why she was spending money and what she was spending money on. And then the whole book goes through every month, like how much money she saved, how much stuff she got rid of. Because when you stop spending money, you look at your possessions differently. Mm-hmm. And then you realize what you need versus want.
Right.
So that book on that 16-hour drive home from Florida, like I was so excited to get home and start getting rid of stuff. That's what the book did for me, is like I want to go through my house and purge all the things that we don't need.
So are you considering starting this year of less by not spending any money in 2019?
No. She's very, very extreme in her. And she's like a single freelance, and she was allowed to spend money on travel. So she did it based on her, like what she wanted to do more of. She wanted to travel more, but she always felt like she never had any money to travel.
Right.
So when she started actually looking at all the ways she was spending the money she had, she realized, oh, I actually do have money to travel. I'm just nickel and diming my way out of my bigger dreams. I'm not going as extreme, but I'm taking parts of it. So I know that I buy too many books, and I know that I have tons and tons of books at home that I need to read. And so I am choosing in 2019 to not buy a single book.
Oh, okay. But you'll also go to the library.
I'll go to the library and read the books that I have, but I'm not going to buy.
You can come to my library.
Yes, I have. And this isn't going to be a healthy admission, but in December I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to buy any books. Let me just buy a lot of books now and stock up. So it's a process.
Right.
It's a process. But I know that I'm committing it to 2019 not to buy a book for myself. Let's say that. Like,
do we have a plan in place? Do you have a phone number? Do you have a safe person to call when you want to buy a book?
Well, as soon as I say it out loud, as soon as I've said it out loud to you and then to Chris.
Yeah. And that's usually the order. No, I'm just kidding.
It is. So.
That's good.
If I just say out loud to a couple people that I know will hold me accountable,
right,
like it will happen. And I'm also I'm very focused. When I say I'm going to do something, I legit do it. I don't just talk about things and not do them.
I do talk about things and not do them. Or I do them for about 2 weeks.
One of the things I was, as the end of 2018 approached, I had said out loud to a couple people, I'm thinking about doing like a 2-month no eating out freeze. Mm-hmm. So in January, you know, like after December, you've just like spent lots of money.
Yeah.
You've eaten lots of foods that you don't normally eat in large amounts. And January, for a lot of people, is a reset in a lot of things. So I was thinking like January and February, maybe if we just don't, that would be one way to spend less money or to kind of recalibrate. but also we're currently tearing up our kitchen.
Oh, that's
and there
right.
will, I mean.
It's actually kind of necessary for you to have that option right now.
Yeah, like there will be days I don't have.
You don't have the equipment.
I don't have anything. Yeah, like we're going to try to make
food.
It as quickly as possible, but there will be days where I don't have the ability to make any food.
Right.
So
you're going to walk over to your aunt's house and use her kitchen, right? That's yeah. what you're saying?
I just thought, like, thinking that through, I would set myself up for a lot more stress than necessary if I was like, we aren't eating out in January.
Could you imagine if you, like, set up a hot plate in the microwave in the living room and you're like, this is where we have to eat macaroni and cheese, girls.
I would lose my mind. Like, I'm already going to be stressed. Like, the disorder and the chaos of that
right.
was going to make me on edge. So not being able to occasionally pick up a pizza on our way home from whatever
yeah.
or stop and get food out, I think would put me over the edge.
Yeah, I think that's a common. I know that when my family, when we were practicing Catholics, we still do practice Lent or participate in mm-hmm. Lent. And we always that we don't eat out for 40 days. There's no eating out for 40 days.
Yeah.
Which really stinks because I never want a McFish more than during Lent.
Oh, man. Yeah, the minute you say you're not going to do something,
I know.
You want it more than anything.
Yeah. And I read somewhere too that almost like it's huge in Europe. Many countries, like just like the society as a whole, participate in a dry January where they don't drink.
Hmm.
Yeah, like and they encourage it.
To like sober up from the holidays
yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, just that you don't need to drink anymore. I mean, you don't, you just take that month off.
Coming back then from that book, like I went home and I know like our culture, we live in a society that thinks more is always better.
Mm-hmm.
And while I am very careful and budget conscious and aware of how we spend our money, we always spend more money than we should.
Right.
And we have more things than we need. And so just kind of like that little perspective shift of need versus want and
right.
maybe how much of our house is filled with wants instead of needs has changed the Graham household in some pretty significant ways recently.
How do the girls feel about it?
I don't think they care too much. Elliot has said a couple. So one of the things that kind of moved me was somebody said recently when I was reading that book that, you know, kids wear the same like 10 or 12 outfits all the time.
Yeah.
Versus the overflowing drawers and closets that I had and the majority of their clothes they weren't wearing.
And stuffing leggings and pants and t-shirts just like, yes, like you said, just crammed in the
And at the end of the season, I would put the winter clothes up and there would still be things with tags on them. Mm-hmm. And that was me not paying attention to our needs versus just buying things.
Right.
So when I cleaned out closets and drawers to transition summer, fall stuff into winter, I said, we don't need much. Like they're, especially I save all Ellie's clothes for Harper. Harper needs nothing. Elliot might need a couple like dresses for winter.
Right.
But for the most part, we don't need anything. And Ellie has said, like, but I need more clothes. Not because she doesn't have plenty of things to wear, but because her drawers aren't overflowing. I think she just doesn't even understand,
yeah,
like, what we don't need.
Because the normal is your drawers are overflowing.
Right. And for the first time, they're not. And I'm not saying we need to go out and buy more stuff. So
yeah.
That's really been the only shift for my kids. I've always kind of been weird about the amount of toys that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a lot of things that we needed to get rid of in the toy department. The things we did get rid of are just things they outgrew as opposed to we had too much of something. Like I've always been like very aware of them having too many toys because it overwhelms them and they don't play with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned when Ellie was like two that if you just give her one box of toys, I mean, she'll play with those.
Right. Yeah, we had to do that with family. That probably in the last 5 years, they just buy things so that the kids will open things. And then those things stay in the boxes. And we end up regifting them to other kids for other things. Or we use them right now for, you know, Christmas drives and things like that. So probably about 5 years ago, I said, gift and experience.
Mm-hmm.
My kids don't need anything to unwrap. And if you need to wrap something, then write this down and put it in a box and wrap it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, take them somewhere. If you would like to buy them something together, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you have, you, there's an experience. You
give them a memory, not a thing.
Right. And if you're asking me what you should buy my kid, I'm always going to say nothing. They have everything they need. But if you haven't spent enough time with my child to know what their interests are, then spending time with them is the gift.
Wait, right.
For both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have, when the girls made their Christmas lists, Ellie's at the age where she has big dreams, like 9-year-old drone, cell phone. She has so many dreams that are not going to come true. But Harper, her list was Legos, mm-hmm. a brother, and 7 Christmas books. That was her list. Like and I said to them, like, you understand that there's nothing you really need or that you can dream about because we give you everything you need. Yeah. So let's be aware of that and maybe realize that we don't need a lot of things. Like, so we don't have to have a lot of stuff under the Christmas tree. If you don't need a lot, then that's okay. Like, we're not just going to spend money.
Are you familiar with the one thing you want, one thing you need, and a surprise, I think is how it goes. Or maybe there's another way, but that's the person that I know that does this. It's, mm-hmm. It goes like that.
So we do the 4 gift, want, need, wear, read is what our 4 categories are. And we've done that since Ellie was, I think, 3.
So your kids literally get 4 gifts at Christmas.
It used to be 4. Now it's 4. So wear is a whole outfit.
Okay.
Some years, if they need shoes, that will be included in the wear too. So like, it depends on what they need. But this year, they get their one little Justice outfit because I hate that store. But they want.
Same.
So I'll go in and buy them one outfit for Christmas from Justice.
Maybe we should let the 3 of them go in there and just sit outside at that coffee shop and just, yeah.
Yeah, stay away.
Yeah, let them, I can't stand it.
And all that little junk, we'll put that junk in their stockings.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I know.
And then, like, they get one book.
Yeah.
And then they get one, their want is normally, like, a bigger thing that they want. Mm. And then a need, they don't have many needs, so... Right. I mean, but yeah, so we'll maybe have, because like the outfit, we'll put each thing in a different box. So they might have 7 or 8 gifts, but we don't do.
But they fall in that category.
They all fit in the category. And for our house, Santa fills the stocking. So I'm back and forth. Like, I could argue both sides of why Santa is good or not good. I don't care. I don't want to, that's not what this is about. But we leave out stockings at the wherever Santa comes in, and Santa fills our stockings. Santa doesn't bring us any gifts. He just fills our stockings with junk. Things that mommy and daddy would not normally buy.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where they get all just like the cheap,
the things,
Justice
like
junk.
You said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew a family that if Santa brought it, it wasn't wrapped. Because Santa doesn't wrap gifts. So that's how you knew which one was from Santa.
That makes sense.
When I was a little girl, if this has anything to do with anything, I was told that my dad would lock the like spare room and he'd say, Santa's in there working. You can't go in there. And like in my little baby brain, I'm like, he's right on the other side of that
so
door. But also my dad is full of shit. Like I didn't know where the truth was. Yeah. I just didn't know. Yeah, but Santa, my dad just wrote from Santa on everything, so we didn't have, there was, mm-hmm. outside of him just being at our house and not taking care of any other children, what did that do to me? I don't know, but yeah, that was the Santa thing, but there was one Christmas that we had like 35 gifts apiece.
Oh my gosh. My question, do you, and maybe you don't know this, but was your, like my parents, they had a certain amount of money that they spent, like, so everybody got the same amount of money, but maybe somebody got 12 gifts versus someone got 15. How did they do it when you were little?
I think we just got the same number of gifts. And like,
oh, wow.
And like, if my brother got an outfit, I got an outfit, like the girl version of the outfit. Mm-hmm. The money spent thing did not start until we were much older. Like that's how that started, because my brother would get like a four wheeler and then I would just get like a ton of clothes.
Yeah.
Or I would get, like three or four pairs of tickets to different musicals or things that were coming to the city. I got a guitar once. Nope. Guitar was for my birthday. That was something different. I'm not sure. But yeah, the money thing didn't come into play until we were much older, but we would always have, and I do that, like if I get one of them something, I try to get something not similar but equal in terms of like, oh, here's a toy that Addie's going to play with. What's something that would be equivalent for Max right now, mm-hmm. which is getting much, much harder to do.
The older they get.
Yes, because Max is at that age where it's like he wants clothes, and he does trust me to buy clothes, so that's good, but... Yeah, my kids get somewhere between, I'm going to say between 10 and 12 gifts. We always kept it right around there.
Mm-hmm.
So last Christmas, this past Christmas, Max got one big gift and Addie got many small gifts. And then I just don't want Max to have one thing to open. So, of course, I bought him a couple of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of that, that's like this is the first year that that's been really obvious.
Yeah. Well, that kind of brings us into today's topic of minimalism and consumerism. We're kind of going back and forth. We've had lots, Jess and I off the air have had lots of conversations about what's enough, what is too much, how do we raise kids in an environment that says more is always better, how do we raise families that are not just obsessed with consumerism in a very American way. So we've been reading some books and just having some conversations on our own, and we thought we would include you guys in that. We don't know all the answers to this. We are struggling through what less looks like in our homes, in our minds, and in our closets, and then what we do with our new lives of less. So one of the books that I got for my birthday was called The Cozy Minimalist, and she says something I think is a good beginning spot for us. In her book, she says, "Many people never know they are allowed to say that they have enough. It seems almost un-American. Enough doesn't mean everything is perfect. It simply means you have enough because you've met a goal." And so I think for the Grahams, we're kind of working through, hey, we have enough. We don't have to keep buying things all the time. And what that looks like in our lives and the way we spend our money and the things that we do or don't do based on that.
Our lifestyle has changed significantly in the last couple of months in terms of...
finances and living situation?
Yeah, that's probably enough to say. Kind of reevaluating what's necessary in a home of three, a home with one adult and two kids.
One income.
Mm-hmm. It just, things change considerably.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as this was a positive experience, still, oh my gosh.
Still transitions that feel tough.
That feel tough and our lifestyles changed. I would never be in a situation that I wasn't able to care for myself on my own anyway. However, it is helpful to have another income, and you spend very different
mm-hmm.
when you have, it's almost mad money.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, this much is in the savings account. Bills are paid. All right. This means this is free. We just get to spend this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you. I could still do those things, but we would eat peanut butter sandwiches every now and
then. I love a good peanut butter sandwich.
Good news, guys. Peanut butter sandwiches again. Yeah. So it's.
But the way you're living now, it wasn't wrong. But maybe it was excess in a way that you didn't see until some of it was taken away. Is that what you're getting?
Yeah, I think it was. And it's fair to say, too, that at those times, we were probably filling voids instead of caring for our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easy to do when you have when you have extra money to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that didn't work very long, did it?
Well, the year of less, one of the things that she works through in her monthly roundup of like what she spent and what she saved and all that stuff is how often, especially in the beginning, when she had an emotion or a feeling that she wasn't addressing correctly, she stepped back to see that she addressed many of her emotions by buying things or spending money or, just like consuming things.
Right.
And so when she didn't have that option, especially the first couple of months, it was really hard for her to step back and say, why did I want to do this? What am I avoiding or what am I coping wrongly with? That's not the right way to say that, but just she had to spend time thinking about why she wanted to buy something as opposed to just buying something.
Right. And so for so many, spending is an addiction. Shopping is an addiction. And if our country had an addiction, it would be stuff, things, attaining all the time. So when you live in a society that gives you every opportunity to fill that void with stuff, it's hard not to.
And actively promotes more is always better, and you're not valued as you are until you have all this stuff.
Yeah, in terms of everything, in the way you look, in the things you have, in your job. If your job isn't the busiest job in the world, making the most money in the world, then, well, you failed.
Right. So then the quote I read about, we've never been taught to say this is enough.
Right.
And in the past few months and as 2019 starts, like I am actively pushing against the idea that we need more stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a hard year.
Unless it's plants.
Right. There's a list that's still acceptable. I mean, yeah, plants.
That's funny. I made a list just in thinking about like in our homes, things that we could declutter right now. And I would probably start with clothes. I think that's the most common one. Mm-hmm. Is that where you started? Because you started this last year.
Yeah, I started last year. I would say when I made the transition to work from home 3 years ago, I have been stripping down my wardrobe every 6 months.
Yeah.
And so I have a very tight closet right now. I do not have a lot of things that I don't wear.
Right.
But for my kids, yes, we started with clothes.
Yeah, I'm a seasonal person. I pack winter, fall and winter clothes away and get out of those. And if I didn't wear those clothes that entire season because they were just pushed to the back of the closet, then they go.
Yeah.
I don't keep those. But
I'm the opposite. I wear all my clothes year round.
You do?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a couple, like I have some summer dresses I obviously wouldn't wear in winter, but most of my clothes, like shirts, I wear in the summer. I just put sweaters over them in the winter. Or I wear jeans year-round. I wear pants year-round.
I have like 3 tubs of like Rubbermaid tubs. I pull out winter clothes and put away summer clothes.
I don't.
Wow,
I put
that's
up a couple.
Wild.
I put up a couple pairs of shoes.
You and Max are like that, though.
Yeah, we are soulmates.
Do you? Well, I mean, Max packs away about 5 or 6 pairs of Nike.
Oh yeah, no.
Shorts,
I mean, like sandals, things I wouldn't wear in the summer,
right?
Or in the winter, like specific weather-related shoes. But for the most part, my wardrobe is year-round.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good. I will. I'm curious now. I'm gonna see what I keep year-round.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I would say would be like your decor. That's probably the next thing.
Yeah.
What did you do there?
When I got home from that trip, I just started like going through every closet and every drawer. A lot of our closets were filled with decor items that I wasn't currently using or things that I just always had, so I kept. And when I looked at what my house looked like and the realization that, last year we set up a whole office mostly with things in our own homes.
Yeah.
So I was able to set up a second location to work from, and have my house fully decorated, I didn't need all those the stuff in the closets.
Yeah.
So I just got rid of all of it.
That's good.
Yeah.
What about technology? Have you tackled technology, or do you guys have a bunch of, like, we have a drawer at our house. We have two drawers actually at our house that are full of chargers and old phones and gaming systems, controllers, batteries, just stuff. Speakers. Like, that is something that, like, that I'm talking about it and I'm getting anxious right now, just realizing how much stuff is in there. Yeah.
I mean, no. So my personality is also, if we're not going to use it, get rid of it. So I don't, in general, haven't kept a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's one thing that I would often go through. We just have a basket. And if it doesn't fit in the basket, it doesn't get saved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am also, I know, like, my personality versus my friend's personalities. Like, this is my jam, is getting rid of stuff, because I do this all the time.
Yeah.
Like, my goal for years has been less stuff. And I think this is just the next level for me.
Yeah.
But I purge and purge and purge. Like, it's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Is to get rid of stuff.
Huh.
What about you?
About technology?
Just getting rid of stuff.
Getting rid of stuff? No, I do. I don't keep things, but mine is very, my family loves it because every 3 or 4 months, it'll be, oh, Jesse has something to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a piece of furniture. It could be cooking stuff. It could be, but like I said, it's very cyclical, and I'm always kind of getting rid of something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, next, I have to purge my books. I have to do a serious, I have an entire section of books, and you know that my books are, they are organized by subject.
Yes.
I have an entire, like, so many books of just kids' crafts, like things the kids and I would do. And that's kind of, it feels a little bit hard to part with, but it'll be good. And then I'll have a whole nother section, because now I have, in my library, I have a beautiful built-in bookcase, and I'm getting another built-in bookcase on the other end, because right now I have two little, like, IKEA shelves, like the metal ones, full of books.
Mm-hmm.
I have a roller cart from the library full of books. So
I would say one thing I didn't really purge at all was books, because I have a specific bookshelf in my office of books I have not read. But if it's anywhere else in the house, it is something I've read and loved and will read again, or would like, or would let people borrow. If it's book I read and I did not love it, or I didn't find any value in it, I donate it right away. Like, it doesn't even make it to the shelf.
That's good. Yeah. A lot of my books are books that I love. Like, I have an entire section of, like, home decor and remodeling ideas and even, like, just random things. I don't need all those books, but I do love. They're giant books that I just love to flip through over and over and over again. My kids need to go through their bookshelves. They have sections in the bookshelf. That's our next big thing. Technology, we have, when you have two teenagers with phones, I can't imagine how much money we would get if we turned in all of our phones right now.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, phones we don't use.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the next one is keepsakes. This one is really, really hard for me, but I know that things that were important to me 10 years ago maybe aren't important to me, especially like kids' clothes. There's some items that I just can't part with, that I know that if given the choice, the kids would have worn it every single day.
Yeah. I have boxes. Each of the girls have a box, like a keepsake box, and it should probably be a little bigger. It's maybe like the size of two hat boxes together, but I would say I'm not sentimental with stuff as much as I am like memories and words. So like, I'm sometimes extra sappy in the way I write about a memory, I think, because I'm less attached to the things.
Yeah.
Like, my sap level is in the words, not the holding of the thing. But I mean, my parents also kept like all my sister and I's doll clothes when we were little. My grandparent or my grandmothers would make a lot of our Cabbage Patch doll clothes.
Aww.
And so they kept all of those, and now my girls play with them. So I like, I'm so thankful that we have those little things that I can give my daughters to play with that I played with.
Yeah.
I'm not doing much of that, so maybe I will be bummed about that later.
Or you'll keep the doll clothes.
Yeah, the doll clothes will stay. But I don't keep a lot.
Yeah. Huh.
What about you? Can you find... Are you emotionally attached to lots of...
No, I'm emotionally attached to... Like, if I have a picture and I have a memory attached to that, to the photo, and they're wearing a specific shirt, then I want to keep that shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But I do. I have a Rubbermaid box, and if it gets full, then I go through it, and something has to go.
Yeah.
We're not going to do a bigger box than that.
Yeah.
Because my dad had a box of my clothes, like, throughout the years. Like, there was a couple things from high school and middle school, and mm-hmm. when I was a baby. And when Addie got to the section that was her, like, 10, 12, she was like, oh, yeah. And
here
there's just
go.
Stuff that
yeah.
she wore, and it was really cool. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah.
And so I think that my kids will also enjoy that when and if they ever have kids. So
I do have a stack of 5 or 6 T-shirts from high school that I just can't get rid of. I don't wear them, but, like, we've got some good high school T-shirts that I've kept.
Okay.
And... I would say I have a hard time getting rid of my kids' books from when they were little, even though they don't read them. Like, those books I'm attached to, again, the word thing, I think.
I have another section in mind, too, that it's just, like, there's probably 10 to 20 books that we read over and over again. And there's some of them where, with Addie, we read them weekly still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have, and I know you've made fun of me for this before, I have a lot of their baby blankets still. Like,
oh, yeah.
I have a whole stack of maybe 12. I don't know why in the world I'm keeping them. They're not going to have kids one day and want their crusty baby blankets, but, like, I can't get rid of those baby blankets.
Yeah.
They're in the attic now.
I don't think you have to say baby blankets. I think it's blankets in general.
This is done. We're done here.
Well, a book that I read this book a long, long time ago, to the point where I was like, I really don't even remember reading this. But it's called America's Cheapest Family. America's Cheapest Family gets you right on the money. It's Steve and Annette Economides. I think that's Greek for economics. I don't know. I feel like it should be.
I feel like you just made it up.
No, that really is their last name.
I know. That's so weird.
So... But they are, it appears that they are a family of, how many people are in this picture? 7. And they living better, spending less, and cashing in on your dreams. And it was a New York Times bestseller a long time ago.
Hmm.
But they break it down into, like, just living with a family and how you can spend as little as possible. Like, what their process is to buy a car. What they do for clothes. What happens when there's a medical emergency. Just... all these different things, and this is how they lived their life and saved, you know, probably at this point, millions of dollars. But, and they even have it as from their kids' perspective, growing up in a house like this and what they learned through the years doing it that way. But, yeah, so I recommend that book, even though I don't remember much of it.
But you sure like enough to keep it.
I do, because there's I don't know, when I'm feeling bad about myself and about spending, which maybe this would be the time to reread it. I'll just flip through one of the chapters or something. And the one about buying clothes, that's the one I've read the most about.
So do you remember, it's not on Netflix right now because I searched it, but when everyone was talking about the documentary Minimalism.
Yeah.
A documentary about important things. Like, did you watch that?
No, but those guys have a podcast too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched it. It's very extreme. Well, that's my opinion of it.
We're done.
Yeah. Goodbye. Just the idea that I think with anything, it can become an obsession. So just like you can be obsessed with your things, you can be obsessed with lack of, like, not necessary things. That's not saying I'm just like being obsessed with getting more things. You can be
depriving yourself almost.
Yeah. Obsessed about the way of not having things. So I was at a holiday party, last month, and somebody was giving away something for like there was a booth and the people were giving away things. And I was not in this conversation, but this girl behind me said, "Oh, no, thanks. I'm a minimalist." And my eyes rolled out of my head.
Tried not to spit my drink.
I was just like.
Or you could have just said, "No, thanks."
Yeah. No, thanks. Or I don't. Oh, I don't need that. Or no, thank you. Like, just it made
she
my
just wanted to say it.
Skin crawl.
Yeah.
Like,
just wanted to say it.
Ugh. You don't. If you are going around telling people that, maybe you're missing the point.
Or maybe you're obsessed with being the center of attention.
Yeah. Like that felt. Ugh. I have. Yeah.
But a lot of people feel the same way when I am like actively vegan, and I'll be like, "No, I'm vegan." And you say that enough and you realize that that's the last thing you should say. You'd be like, "I'm allergic to pork." Like, I don't, because people get so angry.
Yeah.
But I would be the same way about a minimalist. I would feel the same way. That's the tea kettle. I didn't think it was going to make noise. Sorry. I'll turn that off.
So just, yeah, I don't know. I think being aware of how we spend our money and what we fill our lives with is really important. I think you can become obsessed and unhealthy on both extremes.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I'm trying to find, and I think we'll spend the rest of my life trying to find the balance of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody does it perfectly, but when we become aware of something, it helps us change our perspective or maybe learn about why we're doing things the way we're doing them.
I accidentally grabbed a book because it said $2 a day and I hadn't read it yet. And I thought, "Oh, okay, this is fun. This is probably, you know, some guy lived on $2 a day to see if he could do it." No, it's about poverty in our country and that there are people who do live on $2 a day. Like, that's how much money they make. And it made me really, I kind of stood there and just flipped through a few pages and thought, I'm worried about my new countertops, and I am worried about which paint color I'm going to choose, and I am worried about if my kid's going to get a gaming system or a motorcycle. And these people are living on $2 a day. If that doesn't put it in perspective, I'm not sure what would.
Yeah. All right, so I think we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about like money and privilege and how that's changing conversations for us and the ways we spend money too. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We want to make sure that you are not missing our Facebook and social media announcements telling you about events that are going on in the Front Room Studio. In a couple weeks, we have
Intuitive Eating. It's a workshop for 3 hours here at Front Room Studio, teaching you how to have a better relationship with your food. I think it's a lot of all of us doubt what we should be eating, what we want to eat. It feels like everything that we do is wrong or the latest fad diet. And this is the opposite. This is listening to you and what your body needs.
All right. So we're going to hear from dietitian Laura Riker. And she's going to help us kind of get out of the mindset of diet culture that we've all kind of grown up on and come back to listening to our bodies and what's actually good for them and what we've been told is wrong.
So if you want to sign up for that workshop, you can click any of the links in our bios on social media right now.
So we have an events page at Front Room Studio, New Palestine on Facebook. We've got lots of workshops and things coming up this year. And so you can stay in the loop on Facebook.
Yeah. And then Mary and I always promote those things on our personal Instagram, social media too. Mm-hmm. Also, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Now back to the show. All right. So we are just starting the conversation about minimalism. And we spent this first part talking about things, our homes, how we can declutter our lives. And next week, we're going to talk about the financial aspect. the economic responsibility, consumerism, and how it plays into living in the wealthiest country in the world and how it affects us in our daily lives.
And I think we'll also touch on the responsibility that comes with that, like to be inherently aware of our privilege and our wealth and how to use that in a way that's not just another reason to buy something. Yeah. All right, Jess Hooker, what's not terrible this week?
What's not terrible is that it's 2019, and it's got to be better than 2018. There's nowhere else to go but up.
I think at the beginning of 2018, you would have said that was the worst.
I did say that.
It was. And I don't think 2018 was as bad as you think it was.
It feels... I made a lot of progress, and I...
Yeah.
But a lot of hard things happened, and I handled them in a much better way than I would have in 2017. So I do... You do always make me go, okay, well, this is why this is terrible, but this is why it's good, because you made this decision instead. And you've been a good friend to do that for me through the last year. However... Some shitty things still happen. I am grateful that I made better right. decisions, but I'm hoping for less shitty things to happen and more happy things to happen, or just more growth. I mean, but if we could not test my growth with just bad stuff, if we could reward my growth with some fun stuff, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Talking to you, big guy.
I think No, you have a hard time seeing anyone. We have a hard time seeing our own change. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have grown, that you grew a lot in 2018. And if you continue to do the hard things, not always the fun things, but the hard things, I think eventually you're going to have a year that feels like it was the best year. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking for you for 2019.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. That was a more heartfelt thanks than what I came across.
Thanks, asshole.
All right. What's your not terrible?
My not terrible is, now that it's January, we're in the middle of a remodel for our kitchen. This has been in the works for months and slowly leading up to the big rip out mess. And I am saying it's not terrible because it started, and that means it's closer to being done, because my house being a mess, honestly throws everything out of whack for me. So I'm looking forward to it not being a mess eventually.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. I think that's it.
Okay. See you next time.
See ya.
You've been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Not Terrible Podcast. Visit us at notterriblepodcast.com for show notes and additional content. You can sign up for our newsletter for bonus episodes and podcast extras. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider.
When you subscribe, leave us a review. We'd love to share it on the podcast, like this one from Phil Rude, who wrote, "Mary and Jess are making a podcast that is refreshingly honest and open in the way they talk about issues many of us deal with. It's a dose of real life and a reminder that we are not alone in these struggles."
Not Terrible is recorded in conjunction with the Off the Air podcast. Recorded in the Front Room Studios, this has been a Waco production.